Welcome to the Wayne Feeds Daily Podcast. This is episode number 5. It's the 5th and final episode of today's podcast, and I am so glad you're joining me today. We've got a great show planned. I got a blue background, feeling the blue today. And I hope you're looking forward to a good weekend. The Colorado weather is awesome. And got a lot of things happening this week. I wanted to just say welcome to the podcast. And I want to thank our sponsors today. Two of them from Summit Church of Castle Rock. We get to plug our own thing. We have a weekly prayer meeting, the Saturday morning prayer meeting. Watch this promo for what we do on Saturday mornings.
Saturday morning prayer meetings are here to stay. Join us this Saturday morning from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. at the CR Adventist Chapel for an hour of worship, encouragement, and a powerful time of agreement in prayer. The chapel is located on the first floor just down the hallway from the welcome desk. God answers prayer. If you need a breakthrough in any area of your life, join us for prayer this Saturday at 8 a.m.
All right, and today's podcast is also brought to you by Summit Church of Castle Rock. We meet 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings at Castleview High School Auditorium. We'd love to see you there. We have kids ministry. We've got contemporary worship, a relevant message, and everything that you need for your family. So I'd love to see you. If you live in the South Denver metro area, I'd love to see you at church this Sunday. All right, let's get into our first segment. All right, today in the news, we're looking at more activity in the Gaza Strip in Israel. There's been a lot of activity. Of course, we've heard about the airstrikes between Israel and Syria. National Security Advisor John Bolton is pushing to eliminate the cybersecurity coordinator position at the White House, according to Politico. The position leads National Security Council staffers who manage interagency cooperation and strategy making on cyber policy. Bolton's motives are mixed. He supports a more aggressive cybersecurity posture and is looking to reorganize the entire NSC. Deputy National Security Advisor Mira Ricardel may pick up the roles of cybersecurity coordinator herself. Several former government workers and academics expressed concern that this move indicated that the United States was not prioritizing cybersecurity. And that could be. The world is a dangerous place. It's a dangerous place online, but it might be an even more dangerous place in real life. Of course, just following up on this story from these last 2 days, Israel attacked a dozen Iranian military targets in Syria, according to the New York Times. Israel was responding to 20 rockets that Iran fired at Israeli-held territory first. However, none of those rockets met their target. Israel claims to have destroyed nearly all remnants of Iran's military infrastructure in Syria. And finally, 5 members of the Islamic State were arrested in Iraq by Iraqi forces. According to the Washington Post, one of those 5 is a top aide to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the leader of the Islamic State. Hisham al-Hashimi, an advisor to the Iraqi government, said, "This is the operation that broke the skull of the Islamic State. Other operations were just breaking bones." Iraq has already used information gleaned from Thwahi in 2 airstrikes in Syria. The operation led to the 5 arrests, benefiting both the U.S. and Turkish intelligence support. So, a lot of happenings in the Middle East. And again, I think I said it yesterday, we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And there's always a need to pray. I think it was Billy Graham who said he likes to preach with the newspaper in one hand and with the Bible in the other. Because what you see in the newspaper, we can see application in the Bible and vice versa. And so we need to be thinking Christians. We need to be active Christians. We need to be caring Christians. Jesus said we need to be in the world, but not of the world. And so it's so very important that we prioritize those things. Here's a little lighter note, kind of an interesting sociological study here in the United States. Millennials go straight to forever homes. Many skip the starter home and they make up for lost time. Mike Sullivan, 31, bought his first house a few years ago after saving up for years. But it's not a typical one or two bedroom starter house. He paid $360,000 for the 4-bedroom, 2,700 square foot ranch on Long Island. He calls it his forever house. And this article follows a trend that millennials are waiting longer but they're buying bigger. So if you own a house, or if you're in the real estate market, we know that right now the inventory is low according to the market. It's a seller's market right now. There are more buyers than there are houses to buy. And so if you're a house builder, if you're looking to sell the house you're in, prices are in your favor right now in the real estate market. So I find that kind of interesting. All right, it's time to get into today's inspiration motivation. All right, today's reading is a little shorter than most. Again, this whole week I've been studying through and taking you through the Maxwell Leadership Bible. I highly recommend this. By the way, those of you on Facebook Live, hopefully we're done crashing. It's like the $6 million man. We can make it better. We can make it faster. We can make the Facebook upload more robust than it's ever been before. So far, no crashes. Isn't that good news? And hopefully we've fixed the problem. But as we look at today's reading in the Bible, we're talking about the law of victory. And the Apostle Paul communicates what to do to be saved. Now, every other world religion, I think it was Bill Hybels who said this, every other world religion is spelled D-O. But Christianity is the one world religion that is spelled D-O-N-E. Islam, even certain forms of Christianity that are works-based, say you have to do this and you have to do that, and if you do the right thing, you'll be accepted. Well, that's true in the Old Testament, but Jesus came and he showed us a new way to the Father, which was believe on him and you will be saved. And we know that Abraham, he said it was credited to him as righteousness because of his faith. Abraham believed God and it was credited as righteousness. So here's what we're reading in Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 17. And Paul writes this. He says, let me get to the right verse. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call on him without they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who have glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, there's a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament in the Bible. The Old Testament is all about the law and keeping the law and having God's blessings in this life. But the New Testament is all about believing in God and in Christ and receiving his grace gift and having a heart change and having a home forever in heaven one day. It's not just about blessings in this life, but it's about blessings in the life to come. Jesus Christ taught us that we could have a friendship with God as our Father. And that is probably the most revolutionary idea, that God is not some invisible force a million miles away, uncaring, angry, pointing a finger at us and telling us everything we're doing wrong. No, God is a loving, gracious, good Heavenly Father reaching out his arms to us, just saying, come to me, believe in me, trust in me. Let me give you eternal life. Let me give you new life in my son, Jesus. And so I find that very motivating, because there are some days when I just can't be a good person. There are times when my brain is thinking bad thoughts, or I lose my temper, or I don't have the self-control that I should. And I have to remember that I am not saved because of the good things that I do. I'm saved because of the grace of God, because of the love of Jesus, because of what he has offered to me by simply believing in him. And so that's, to me, I find a great amount of comfort in that today. So I hope you do as well. Once again, our podcast is brought to you today by the weekly Saturday morning prayer meeting and Summit Church of Castle Rock. If you don't have a church family, come join us this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. at Castleview High School Auditorium. If you don't live in the immediate South Denver metro area, Find a church in your area. Get plugged into the local body of Christ. Find some believers that you can find encouragement with. And I think that you will, if you'll go to church, you'll find friends. You'll find encouragement. You might find some solutions to problems that you didn't have otherwise. People, oftentimes, you might be the answer to someone else's prayers. When we live in godly and spiritual community with one another, the Bible says that how can one stand alone? But two can fight back to back, and a cord of three strands is not easily broken. So when we come together as believers, we support one another. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. He's right there where two or three are gathered together in his name. So get to a local church. Find a local body of believers to gather with, to study the scriptures, to teach your children, to worship, to pray, to give, to serve. And if you do that, if you pour your life into the local church, you'll never be the same. So that's my admonishment to you today. All right. Guess what? It is time. I want to tell you about the series that we're doing this weekend at Summit Church. It's a series that we've called First Things First. Last week, I launched the first part of the series, and Sunday, I'm continuing the series talking about priorities in relationships. I want you to see this quick promo about what the whole series entails as we talk about priorities in the kingdom of God. So check out.
First, there was God. Then he created everything. The heavens. The earth. To everything, life was given. Light. Earth.
It is time for the song of the day, and I am reaching back into the archives for this one. Some of you guys might remember a couple old bands called the 77s and Daniel Amos and the Choir and Adam Again. They formed sort of a Christian supergroup back in the 90s called the Lost Dogs, and I absolutely love this band. And they had one radio hit that was simply called Pray Where You Are. And I'm going to play it for you right now. It's one of my favorite old 90s Christian songs, so check it out.
In the submarines and tanks, in the SNLs and banks, in the cancer wars, the prisons and the bars, on the earth and on the moon, in the closet in your room, in the flop houses, the think tanks and the farms, to the salesman forever trying to sell, to the faithful daughter walking to the well. Oh, pray where you are. Pray. In the fields and in the factories, there's no limits, rules, or boundaries. In a worker, school, or driving in your car, pray where you are. In the strip joints in the church, on the desperate lost child search, in the airplanes and the back roads and the rails, on the blacktops, on the beach, down the sewer and up a creek, in the penthouses, the gulags and the jails, to the criminal with no one left to con, work or school or driving in your car. Pray where you are. Pray where you are. To the junkie with his back against the wall. To the lawman as he breaks another law. In the desert off the shore, in a peacetime and a war. In the Pentagon, the courtrooms and the malls. In the tents and in the caves, at the truck stops by the graves. Our hopes, our fears and struggles, great and small. To the corner bomb that no one seems to hear. To the president who prays for four more years. Oh, pray where you are.
As we bring this first week of podcast to a close, I want to recommend a book that's called The Complete Guide to Money. I was going to say Total Money Makeover, but that's a different book by Dave Ramsey. The Complete Guide to Money. Some of the principles from the Financial Peace University course that we've taught here at church in various small groups and various semesters. And I wanted to share one particular key truth from what Mr. Dave talks about when it comes to finances. Steps to get out of debt. Give me a little thumbs up if you have credit card debt. Give me a little thumbs up if you're worried about your money. Let me hear about it if you've got troubles with money. If you have a hard time managing your money. Give me a thumbs up if you need more money, all right? Good. Well, here's what he says. These are the steps for getting out of debt, according to Dave Ramsey. He says, so with gazelle intensity as the background for everything else we'll talk about, there are five steps that will lead you out of debt and into debt-free, stress-free living. And how many know that if you got money problems, it seems like everything else has fallen apart in your life as well? All right. So as we share here these keys to steps out of debt, I want you to remember these. I think they're five steps. Maybe it's three. Let me look. As we share these five steps to get out of debt. Number one, quit borrowing money. Quit borrowing money. Now, that might seem painfully obvious, but my dad used to say, if you're in a hole, stop digging. So you cannot borrow your way out of debt. To just move debt around on your various credit cards is a bad idea. At some point, you have to pay them off. I'm going to talk about the debt snowball here in a second. But step number two, you must save money. You must save money. So first of all, stop spending money. Number two, start saving money. Of course, we know the baby steps from Financial Peace University. First of all, have $1,000 in an emergency fund. Be ready to handle the little expenses yourself. A little thing like a traffic ticket or a flat tire or the brakes go out on your car. Something that's $1,000 or less. If you have that stocked away in an emergency fund, then all these little tiny emergencies don't get slapped on a credit card and you're going to find more freedom from debt if you stop spending money on stupid little stuff. And it's amazing. He calls it Murphy repellent. When you have that emergency fund, suddenly Murphy goes looking for someone else because you are ready for any emergency that might come about. You must start saving money. How do you do that? Well, you have to live within your means. You have to act your wage. You have to live within a budget and not overspend. You have to know how much money you're taking in, and you have to know how much money is going out. You have to know what your fixed expenses are, and then you have to live within your means. And I think the envelope system is a great way to do that. Number three, prayer really works. when you really get serious about this and you say, God, will you please help me with my finances? Will you help me put you first in this area? Will you help me come up with some ways to make more money or to get out of debt? I believe God will give you divine ideas and strategies, some great things that you can do. Be ready to do the things that it's going to take for you to live within your means, stop spending, start saving. Number four, sell something. Sell something. If you have been a frivolous spender for a long time, then you probably have a lot of things in your house that you could sell. There's probably old furniture you don't use. There's probably clothing you could put on consignment. There's probably sports equipment you no longer use. There's stuff that you could put on eBay. You may have a small business idea. There could be any number of things that you could sell, and just be ready to sell any whatever's not nailed down, sell it, and climb yourself out of debt and start paying down that debt, getting yourself out of trouble. And then number five, get to work. Don't be afraid of work. Don't be afraid to take a second job. Don't be afraid to be an Uber driver or a Lyft driver. Don't be afraid to drive a school bus. Don't be afraid to deliver newspapers. I mean, just whatever you have to do to start chipping away at that gap between what it is you're spending and how much ever it is you're making. If you have a gap there where you're spending more than you take in, you have to stop spending and you have to start making more than you spend. It's just simple mathematics. And so I love Dave Ramsey. He talks about this. And one of the other most powerful, tools that he offers to people, and I just want to mention it here, is what he calls the debt snowball. And it's in the back of this book. If you take the Financial Peace University class, you can get a copy of this. You could probably even just Google debt snowball form, and this would come up. But if you're in a dire situation financially right now, maybe you've got three or four credit cards and you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, and you know that your outgo is more than your income, I highly recommend you use the debt snowball. Look at your top 5 to 10 debts. And some people have a lot of credit cards, but let's say you have three. You ought to list your debts from biggest to smallest. And from smallest to biggest down the list. So then you have a total of what your debt is. And then you write down what the total payoff is for each of those, and then what the minimum payment for each of those debts are. And as you do that, you want to pay off the smallest debt first. And then the amount of money that you were spending to pay off that first credit card, you apply to the next largest debt. And there's momentum as you begin to pay off each successive debt larger and more, you'll get out of debt faster and there'll be greater margin again between your income and your outflow. And of course, you don't want that just to be zero. If you get to that point, if you're in an emergency situation, obviously, but you want to always have margin. You want to make more than you spend. And that's the whole point. So I hope you find that helpful. If you have never taken a Financial Peace University course, I encourage you to find one in your area. A lot of churches offer them. Some Christian colleges and universities will have them. Even some Christian businesses will offer them to their employees. If you go to the Financial Peace University website, you might be able to find a class or a small group in your area. And I'm just recommend it highly to anybody that's in financial trouble. So God bless you guys. Thanks for watching and listening to that today. And I just want to make mention of that if you'd like to be on the podcast, you can contact me, PastorWayneH@mac.com. If you'd like to be one of our sponsors here throughout the month of May, I'm advertising businesses, ministries, services for free. And so hit me up, message me, email me, text me what you're wanting to promote, and I'll even record a Skype call with you. We can Skype call an interview or a conversation, and we just want to build the interest in this podcast, both on Facebook Live and on iTunes and on YouTube. And so thanks again for watching today. Support the podcast, subscribe, share it with a friend, support the ministry. Go to our various websites, mysummitchurch.com. You can give online there if you'd like to, and get to a local church this weekend. Your life will never be the same. I'm Wayne Hansen, your host. We'll see you guys on Monday. Take care.